Dr. Farah Palmer joins us for a corridor today. An exciting time, of course, off the back of the Black Ferns. Women in sport very much in focus too, as we speak at the Aotea Centre. Farah is the Deputy Chair of the New Zealand Rugby Union and, as you know, has had a wonderful career in the black jersey. The Wahine All Blacks, as many would rather refer to them than the Black Ferns, were quite exceptional on Saturday night. It really galvanised the country in a way that I guess sporting events haven't in the past. Thanks for joining us again, Farah. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, yeah. I'm still trying to realise what happened over the weekend, but it was an amazing, amazing moment.
You've watched a lot of rugby, and the style that Wayne had our women playing, it differed markedly from this rolling maul approach that the English women brought, which is coming for some criticism too, because one of the scribes I note from England, former representative player, said that, you know, that's not what the fans want to see, that sort of power rolling maul, boring to watch. He says that it shouldn't actually be worth as many points in a try. That's another point. But the flamboyant, give it some latitude style, and the handling was quite exceptional from our Wahine. Talk with us about the differing styles of play and what you enjoyed most about it.
Yeah, well, going into that, we knew that it was going to be contrasting styles of play, and we'd known that Wayne was kind of doing a high-risk way of playing. However, all credit to the English team. They were down to 14, and they stuck with what they know they're good at. And, you know, let's turn it around. If it was us and we were in that situation, we'd probably play to our strengths too. So I think they do that well, and it's so hard to stop that driving maul. But they did also show some glimpses throughout the tournament that they can play open, expansive rugby. And I think one of their best tries was the one that they scored against Canada. So I hats off to them. That was so close. It all came down to the hand of Jonah Ngan-Wu at the end there. It could have gone either way.
Sure. Off the back of a win that, as I say, galvanised the nation, what would you say are the most important issues on the table here? Is it women's participation rate? Some saying it's about paying our wahine. Some saying about maintaining the momentum. I mean, all are important. But what would you prioritise, Farah?
First of all, we just want to take the moment to kind of celebrate this. But I do know we've got this opportunity to supercharge the game even more. So I would say it's a combination. We need to acknowledge the players and what they've done. They are contracted. I think people are asking that they be contracted more or that they have more acknowledgement. So we're doing our kind of background work around what we can do to acknowledge this team. And then we also need to make sure that we have a solid base, because if we just focus on the top and a couple of years' time and 3 years' time when the next World Cup comes around, you know, I'm not sure whether we're going to have those new ones coming through and keeping the Black Ferns as great as they are.
Obviously, there'll be more interest, and people will like to play more younger women getting a start. This money issue seems to be clouding the discussions slightly. Some saying that, well, they deserve a bonus payment for their success. It is their sixth time. And others saying that they should be paid the same as the blokes. Is this the time for that sort of discussion?
It's not new. You know, we've been having, I remember in 2017, the players weren't even kind of on contract, so it did create a bit of a shift. So, you know, after there's been a momentous occasion like this, there's always a lot of flurry of discussion around what are we doing the right thing. And, of course, we've got this Women in Sport conference happening up in Auckland at the moment, which is debating those very issues. So I would say for us to get to what the men are kind of earning is a long way away. But what we want to do is acknowledge the time and the effort and the professionalism we're asking these players to present. So, yeah, we're looking into it.
Farah, have you been part of this Women in Sport hui that's been held in Tāmaki?
I hung around on the Monday and I did a presentation on the visibility of women in sport and focusing on what had happened during the Rugby World Cup 21. And that was cool. Lots of amazing talks that I managed to join. I must admit, I was a little bit on the tired side. I've still got a bit of a husky voice from all the yelling during the game and celebrating afterwards. So, but it was such a lovely way to finish off and take my focus from rugby to a broader scope around women in sport.
Well, we're all proud of our wahine, no doubt about it. Very strong cultural dimension to it. A very Māori, in fact, you know, a very strong Polynesian culture within the squad, which was celebrated in style post-match.
Yeah, I think we've kind of like got 30-35% Māori in the team and another kind of 30 that are Pacifica. So it's a great mix of different cultures, and it always has been. A lot of the Black Ferns, old girls, were so proud that they were still singing their the Samoan song up on the podium there, because that was the song we used to sing. They're still doing the haka that we used to do back in 2006, so that's really cool. But they're adding their own flavour to it, and they're taking it to the next level. Just like they're doing in terms of on-field play, they're doing that with the culture stuff as well, which is amazing.
Tēnā koe. I don't mean to be disrespectful, Farah, but many Māori feel that Māori rugby has been somewhat short-changed by NZRU over the years. You are obviously the deputy chair of the rugby union, so you're not just there as an advocate for the women's game. Any thoughts about Māori rugby, because while we are celebrating in the advances of our wahine and with opportunities, I would hope it doesn't come at the expense of the development of Māori rugby. The two need to go hand in hand. What role you in both?
I hope people don't think that I'm going in there not, you know, we all as Māori wear lots of mani pōtai, and I'm wahine and I'm Māori and I'm there. And every decision we make, we weigh up what is the best thing to do at this time. This was a moment in history to focus on the women's game, and as a result, we've put our Māori culture and our Māori players and everything Māori into it as well. So there's that. We're looking at what we can do to kind of get more games for our Māori All Blacks, so that's definitely still on our agenda. I actually had a Māori rugby board meeting the day of the final at the Rugby World Cup. So we had all of our Māori board together discussing the future of Māori rugby. So I'm definitely not dropping the ball in that regard.
Thank you. And again, I'm posing this respectfully, you don't have to answer it, but is the NZRU like some other entities, male, pale and stale?
We're not as pale as we have been, let's put it that way. We are. We've got Bailey Mackey around the table. We've got Pauline Luton, who's Tongan, around the table. So we're getting there, and we probably still need to look into these things. We're actually having a Māori rugby governance review at the moment, looking at whether we've got the right structures in place to take the game forward from a Māori perspective. So it's lots on.
Cool. Can you just, we don't have to talk about the findings, obviously, a Māori governance review, who is conducting it, how long is it taking?
We've got Jim Mather, who's helping us, we've got Kushla, who is now, she was on the Māori Rugby Board, she's now within New Zealand Rugby as a Māori Rugby Development Manager within the organisation, so they're kind of like running it, and they've been having hui and zui with a whole lot of different groups, so I think they're at the point of collating it, and hopefully we'll have some initial results for us in early December. So what we're really trying to say is we're having a governance review for New Zealand Rugby at the moment with the Silver Lake and deal and what that means for the game going forward, and we thought it'd be a great time for us to also look at our Māori rugby governance and what we can do there.
Ka pai. Good talking with you again, Farah, and fantastic weekend of rugby, and I guess for some of those wahine, what now might be a little bit deflating. They just go into their summer mode, or how do we maintain their focus, interest and commitment to their black jersey across the summer?
We give them some time to rest and recover, and I think to soak it all in. And there's always going to be a little bit of what they call the post-World Cup blues. I know I'm already feeling it. I wasn't even playing. So I think everyone just needs a bit of time to reset, and then some of them will get into sevens, and then some of them will start training for Super Rugby Opiki, which is expanding now to 5 weeks. So that's good, and that's the next thing I think they'll be focusing on.